Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Gents, we all right?
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, good.
Got some live show.
Yes, we have. Live show info. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 confirmed.
Confirmed.
Manchester Christmas do.
The Manchester Christmas do on the 4th of September.
He's now on the 4th of September.
But that weren't really our fault, were it?
First one, London. We're in London on the 17th of July.
That sounds pretty serious do, that, is it?
It's part of the podcast festival. I think there's a number of other podcasts that are involved as well.
Not as good as ours, though.
No, obviously not. 17th of July, we're in London for the podcast festival, which is exciting.
Yeah, very exciting.
That'll soon be, yeah. I didn't realise it was that quick.
I might be on holiday. Sorry, lads. You might have to do it with Army.
We've got Leeds, 2nd of September. Manchester, 4th of September. Bradford, 7th of September. And back in Middlesbrough, the 11th of September.
I'm glad we've took notice of what happened last tour when we were all fucking knackered because we were all so close together. We've got what?
4 in a week.
2nd, 4th, 7th and 11th of September. What is wrong with us? Eh? Who organises this shit?
You've got to put it in. I did put other dates to you, but I'm on holiday, or I've got a dinner, or so, you know what I mean? I've got to do what I've got to do.
So we've got 4 in.
Be a good week though, won't it?
We've got 4 in 9 days there.
It'll be a good week.
They're local though, aren't they? Are they all local? Leeds, Manchester, Bradford, Middlesbrough, yeah.
Yeah.
Home gigs.
Yeah. So basically, we're going to be, out of 9 days, we're going to be pissed 4 and rough as arseholes for 10.
Recovering in between.
We'll have a week off. You can have a week off recovering.
Can I really?
Yeah. You put your feet up, John. So all the tickets are available now, apart from Leeds and London, which should be ready by Wednesday.
If you can hear you singing, my young'un's just in the front room. And John's given him a microphone. And he's making bloody good use of it.
I thought it'd be a good idea. And it turns out it's probably not as good an idea as what I thought.
We've also got the charity match this week.
Yes, anybody local to the Radcliffe area? I mean, John, you organised this, didn't you?
Put our names forward.
I said we'd do it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like taking all the praise, so I've took a step back. When I say I've took a step back, I've done fuck all else.
We said, what time do we have to report? He was like, just get there for 10.
I'm out Saturday and all, so I could be a bit green, right, girls?
But you're in goal, aren't you?
Yeah, I am donning the Sondicos. I might play a little bit outfield, but unfortunately my knee don't permit the up and down box-to-box game that I used to impose on football matches.
Who else is playing?
John Atsemabor, Mark Hudson.
Ooh.
Luke Steele.
Striker, obviously.
Striker, Luke Steele.
I'm tipping out. In fact, I'm going to phone William Mills to even get a price on him hat trick. Because I don't think I'll have ever seen anybody take a charity match as serious as what Steele will.
Andy Griffin. Andy Griffin's playing. Chris Sedgwick.
Oh. So if you're in the Radcliffe area.
Is it the Niven? Pardon my pronunciation, but I think it's Niven Stadium.
No, the Niven Stadium.
Pronunciation.
Radcliffe. 11 o'clock kickoff. Sunday.
Pardon my
pronunciation. Get in, and it's all going to charity, isn't it?
Pardon my pronunciation.
Which charity is it?
It's for mental health of those academy players who have been released.
Oh.
Look after their well-being and stuff. So it's
get
a brilliant
cause.
Yeah. And Matty, where's your position? Where are you playing?
Front of the back four.
Claude Makélélé, yeah?
I'd have thought you'd gone David Batty. Leeds fan, I thought you'd gone Batty.
And you? Where can we put you?
It's Eurovision night before, so who knows?
I think.
Biggest night of the year.
I don't think I've ever watched it. Absolutely.
I've
watched it. Do you make a big thing of it?
The house is full. I'm in spandex on, sparkly gloves.
Please come in there.
I'll probably still have them on.
What position do you want to play, serious?
I'm a nippy winger.
So you want to play out right wing?
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. Want to play right wing?
I want you to take it seriously. We're going to win. Don't be turning up half-arsed like you normally do.
I'm expecting big things.
People are messaging saying, oh, I can't wait to see Chrissy play after his Bergkamp-esque goal that he spoke about and all that.
On a serious note, have you got any spare boots?
No.
So, yeah, if you're down in Radcliffe, anywhere near Radcliffe, I'll do it. If you want to travel up, down.
11
sideways,
o'clock.
And wherever you are.
11 o'clock kick-off.
The show and the Premier League games in the bar after.
Ooh.
So I'll have a few pints there.
Why not? Why not? I'm looking forward to
only
it.
Only if you've earned them. You've got to have earned them. So what... When you nip to the sports shop, you get two pair of Coke for 11, won't you?
More expensive now. Have you seen the price of them?
We'll get the case of cups then.
Yeah, I'll get the fakes.
we're not playing a regular, are we?
Peter Sweeney last week.
Yeah, he was funny, wasn't he?
He's good. Yeah.
The fish thing, man. Somebody's put us in touch with Barry Conlon, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, he's excellent. In New York.
Is it? Oh, well, if we've got to go to him, we've got to go to him.
Oh, excellent.
But it'd be better if he comes back here. Yeah.
Has Barry Conlon got to New York?
what? He's coaching as well.
Is he? Mm. Yeah. Hope he's not working in an aquarium. biting the dolphin's head off.
And Sunny Park this week.
Yeah. Yeah,
so some of our listeners, viewers might not be aware of Sonny Park. I think it was a certain generation that you might recognise his name.
Mm.
But I remember, as we'll talk about him, just being tipped as the next Maradona, the next Ryan Giggs. And then later on, going on trial at Ajax, 13, 14, he was the next big thing. He was going to be England's saviour at that age.
But it's actually quite tragic.
It was sad, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But we recorded with Robbie Simpson last week and he grew up with him. And we were like, what was he really like? And he went, he was unbelievable.
Yeah.
At that age.
Mm.
Unbelievable. But it's an unbelievable story, isn't it? I said unbelievable a lot there.
Yeah. Quite unbelievable. How much you said it, to be honest.
But he seems to, he looks back on it with positivity. As we'll get into.
Yeah.
As we'll get into in the episode.
Oh, so, by the way, another complaint. Some arsehole on Twitter or something, or fucking YouTube, whatever it is, complaining about his introductions.
Like, really?
Yeah, I think he like put 10:33 this one. Don't just skip them.
Yeah, if you don't like it, skip it.
If you don't like it, fucking skip them. Don't fucking moan about it.
I think they're saying about adverts, innit? But a lot of them isn't an advert.
No, it's just having
it's
a
just
chat.
Just chatting
isn't it?
Shit.
Yeah.
And
so
I saw one that said the 10-minute talk at the beginning is the best bit.
Well,
horses for courses.
I did leave that review myself. and if there is any adverts, we've fucking bills to pay, aren't we, lads?
Yeah.
We travel up and down country. We need to sell some razors and some...
Speaking of bills whatever, to pay, if you're not involved with a Patreon, you definitely should get involved. Because there's 50, 60.
Believe it or not.
60.
Believe it or not, right? I did a dinner in Bristol on Saturday and two super fans, I'd call them. You know who you are. They were like genital warts. I can't fucking get rid of them, right? I'm only kidding, lads. But somehow they didn't know about the Patreon, so I don't know.
Sign up then. If you get them to sign up,
well,
they've obviously been skipping the intros.
Yeah, they think they're shit and all.
But 60 plus episodes on the Patreon now. Just £3 a month, you get them two extra episodes, and then you can pay the £5 a month, and there's a whole plethora of extra bonus content on there, and you get the regular episodes 24 hours early. It's
Sunday nights now, isn't it? So
yeah, Sunday night. After lunch.
Yeah. So you've had your Saturday night, you've got up rough, you've had your Sunday dinner, you've had your 2 or 3 hours.
Sat on couch with a crumble.
Yeah.
Inspector
Morse is not on any more Sunday nights, is it?
I don't know what's on these days. Heartbeat last time I watched.
I don't, because I'm listening to the podcast. Because I'm a £5-pounder. Yeah, so please support us with the Patreon. I know we say it every week, but we've got fucking bills to pay.
Gets us up and down the country, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Come in handy.
And we really appreciate the support.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the main thing. We really appreciate support. It's not the £3 every month. It's the support, lads.
Should we get Sonny out then?
Mm. Are you feeling ready for Sunday, Matty?
Big time.
You look good.
Stretching now. Come on, Sonny.
I'm doing kick-ups. I've got Tim Vincent behind me trying to give me a badge. I'm insured for £1 million and things like that. People are trying to break my legs. And I've got like Alex Ferguson and Dalglish and Shearer going, Sonny, well done. Son, there's about 20 kids out there, 15 kids out there. They want to weigh you in. the week we was there for, as I said, I had like three people making documentaries on me and I'm on trial. My mum was loving it. She's having a party there with Paul Smith, like Samuel Jackson. And like that. I can't do it no more. And then he said, kill me now. But he just said, if you don't do it, he goes, you ain't got a dad. So I quickly shot back home and there's like police all over my ass and they've been doing surveillance on my ass for 6 months and whatever else. But football aside, that's all everyone just associated me had as like the football wonder kid with the curly hair and the golden boots and the million-pound legs. But really, like, what was I all about?
I might have a bash at that, Miss N.
What, OnlyFans?
Hi. You didn't fucking in spare room.
Look me ass.
Where did Sonny come from?
So my actual real name's Luke, but my middle name's Santino, which is Sonny. In English, Santino, Sonny, same sort of thing. But yeah, so it comes from Santino, but I think my dad was like boxing, Sonny Liston, I don't know, something like that, yeah.
Does everybody call you Sonny still?
Oh, yeah. No one's ever called me Luke. Yeah, I was at school, first 2 years at school called me Luke, and I didn't even answer the register. I was like, Your son's not in. I was like, yeah, I don't even register to Luke, never. Everyone calls me Sonny, yeah.
For those who don't know your story and everything, I always remember, because I think we're pretty much the same age, right? When were you born?
83.
83?
Mm.
I'm 83.
84. So yeah, I was about that time.
Yeah.
Remember the Barnett, man?
Yeah, Barnett.
Strong, wasn't it?
Yeah. Big. My son's took it on there, but it ain't as long as back there. Yeah.
But I remember seeing, you know, when the hype started and everything, just watching, thinking, same age here. I can't do that. All the hype blowing up and everything around it. And it was crazy at the time. Yeah. Yeah. But were you a big football family?
No, I was the only one who played football. Like, family from like East End, and they was all into boxing. So my dad boxed. My dad's got like four or five brothers. They all boxed. I was like the kid doing skills, and my granddad just said to me, like, you're a little fairy. What are you doing? Like, and all this.
Fairy.
Like, yeah, he did. Then he's trying to put cushions up in the living room, trying to get me to do like boxing and that. He's like, football, like this, that, and the other. I was the only one who done any sort of football. Yeah, but yeah.
So you could do stuff at like a very young age that I've never been able to do. Did you just like get a ball and just start doing all this shit and think, fuck me, I'm good at this?
You know what started me off? I think it was the 1990 World Cup when Gaza.
Yeah.
That I watched that as a kid, and my dad was just sitting down watching it with my dad, and obviously my dad seen me, started to enjoy it, and then he bought me a tape, actually, obviously a videotape. We're talking 30 years
football
ago.
Football Italia.
This videotape had Johan Cruyff on it, Maradona and Pele. And it was just them doing sort of all different techniques or different types of shooting, showing the step over or the scissors skill, whatever you want to call it. And I had this tape and I just watched it religiously. And I used to just copy it all really young. I was like, say, 6 or 7. And then I was finding out more about Pele, talking about Santos. And I started looking into all this sort of stuff. So I got into it really early. And like, obviously at that time... Like, football was completely different, wasn't it? Like, it's just literally boot it down the other end of the pitch, playing on full-size pitches. When I'm like 10, you're out of breath time, you get out of the box. Do you know what I mean? Like, the pitches are massive. And I was just playing a different type of game to everyone else. It just made me sort of stand out. But yeah, so I got right into all that sort of technical side really early.
I think it was Adidas Curver videos or somewhere where it was just loads of kids doing little things like that. So you used to take the ball out, kick it against the wall, do little tricks, come back. And I used to spend hours doing it.
Yeah.
Fuck me. It worked for someone.
You might not have been able to tell.
It went for someone with others.
You were the success story.
We did a tackling video.
But yeah, I remember it.
But obviously all the hype came after that. Then, you know, the next Maradona, the next Ryan Giggs and everything. I mean, at school, were you like leaps and bounds above everyone else?
I'd say like sort of technically, yeah. Like, so in other words, like the skill side of it and manipulating the ball and kick-ups and things like that. I would say, yeah, like I was doing thousands of kick-ups by the time I was, like, say, 11 years old, and there's kids doing, like, 5 or 10 sort of things. So I was quite good in that way, but, like, physically and all that, I wasn't. There's some kids that's, like, bigger and stronger than me, but technically I was quite good.
At what point are clubs, you know, sniffing round and...
So I started probably when I was, about, say, 6 or 7, and within a season or so... I was the first few years, I was just scoring loads of goals. That got me the most attention I ever got, really. So I'd be like in the local newspaper, like I don't know, Sonny scores a clear winner, like with the Barnet, like the air and everything in the boots, I stand out enough as it is. And if I'm scoring like 100 goals a season, I was getting quite a lot of attention. So by the time I was 8, 9, I started to get scared. Yeah, I started like Tottenham, Norwich, Ipswich, and all different teams started to scare me, really, yeah.
And was your mum and dad supportive at that when you first started? Because yeah, obviously we speak about quite a lot about parents taking kids to training, yeah, and it is quite, it's tough on them, isn't it?
They're
saying they were a boxing family. Were they supportive from the start?
Yeah, I mean, my mum, to be fair, she wasn't really bothered either if I played football or not, but she would have been happy for me, whatever I was going to do, she'd just support for fun. And my dad, to be fair, he was really good. He was, at the beginning part of it, he was literally buy me anything I needed, any support you want and everything. I'll give you the like, best food and boots and everything. And he would do anything. And he wasn't even, I think people, a lot of people get sort of mixed up that he was sort of pushing me to play football loads. He wasn't even bothered if I went and go and play for a big team. When he got a little bit further down the line, other things started appearing. That's when he started to go a bit more in that direction. But the football side of it at the beginning, he was just like, come on, son, go on, go for it. Like, do you know what I mean? And he helped me quite a lot in a lot of ways because, as I was saying, like from a boxing family, that mindset, like strong like characters, isn't they? Like boxing, you know what I mean? You can't get much of a tougher sport. He sort of gave me that, like, and I took that into football. So as a young kid, like by the time I was 8, 9, I was like a little sort of tornado, do you know what I mean? I was on there, I wanted to win. I weren't there to sort of have a little kick around and get a few goals. I was like literally, and if I scored 8 goals, I scored like 12 goals in one game, and I got to 11. I was like, come off the, I scored 11 goals, and I come off the pitch with the ump because I'm like, I could have got 12. Like, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? But that's how I was mentally. I was on it, young.
And self-belief.
And outrageously skillful at the same time.
So when did Ajax come about?
Ajax. So I would have been around 12 years old. So it's a few years. I've been 11 years old. When I was about 10, I went on London Tonight News. And
what team are you playing for at this point?
At that point, I'm still playing for my local club. Right. It's actually Chaldern Youth, that was called. I'm in from Enfield, North London. That was from that area. Playing for them. And I was still getting scouted to play in teams and whatever else. But then, as I said, London Tonight come and film me. They come and film me in this game. I think we won 4-2. And I think I scored like 4 goals or an hat trick. It couldn't have been like a better game they could have turned up for. Do you know what I mean? I've taken players on, run around the goalkeeper, slotting it in for, right in front of cameras there. And then they interviewed me after. And they was asking me my favourite players. And I started talking about that video. I started talking about Cruyff, Maradona and all these players. And they're like, what? Why aren't you talking about players in England so much? Do you know what I mean? And so I think that got back to a few people. And within a few months after that, my dad's like messaged me and said, we've had like phone calls come through for me to go over to Ajax or Feyenoord. So I had the choice of sort of going over there. So then, obviously, with Ajax, with Cruyff and everything else, I was like, well, let's go to Ajax.
It's mad even to think that London Tonight came to watch that game. How did they find out
was
about
that? Was that specifically for you?
Yeah, it was.
Not just a game, just like a local big game.
No, so that was like, say, 10 years old. But for the few years before that, I'd been in the local advertiser maybe 10 times, being known as the good local kid. Do you know what I mean? Like, sort of a prodigy, and I'd be in the advertiser, the Enfield advertiser and the Independent for scoring an hat trick or doing something. I won a competition, Graham Roberts, remember Graham Roberts played for Tottenham, the centre-back. He put on an Easter camp, you know, like it might have been a summer camp for a week, and there was like a penalty shootout competitions, and I was like 7, and I was beating the kids that are 15, 16 and things like that, and all different competitions, and I got like the player of the week. So that got me in the paper. Just loads of little local things was going on, and then they sort of cottoned onto it, and then it blew.
And can you remember how you felt at that time? Because any of us, getting that kind of attention at 10 year old, you're buzzing, aren't you? You know, even in your local press, local paper, you're thinking, oh, brilliant.
Yeah, I loved it. At that stage, I actually enjoyed it. I was like, whoa, I'm obviously getting quite good, or I'm looking quite good, you know what I mean? It was just the right blend, to be fair, because it weren't too much. It was just nice, do you know what I mean? I used to enjoy it at that stage. Like people just putting you up at school and saying, oh, son, I need this, that, and the other. You've seen you've gone to Ajax or you're sponsored by Mizuno. But when it gets later on, you know, I'm like insured for £1 million and things like that. People are trying to break my legs. I'm going through like 4 shits of shin pads a season, snapping half. Do you know what I mean? It's like dipping.
So you said that. Did it get to the point where the other local lads or whatever were like, jealous of it and thought, fuck it, I'm just going to snap him?
Yeah, yeah. It got to that stage a little bit further on, as I said, that even dads, I'll be on the side of the pitch, I talk about it in the book, and I'm down the right-hand side of the, down on the wing somewhere. I can never forget this fella. He's like bald head. Remember them old school Umbro jumpers, the big then?
Yeah, one of
them
the massive
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the big massive Umbro. And he's going to me, I'm in the corner, I don't know, I might have been trying to take his son. He goes, see you, you think you're good, didn't you? He goes, you're shit. I'm like, I was like 10. I'm like, whoa. And he goes, you ain't fucking nothing. He's giving it to me. And I was like, all right. And I'm trying to do my bits and pieces. I thought, bloody hell, like he's a full grown man. Like he was.
And he's saying your shit. Yeah, to he was, I was getting,
giving it to me. Like he was probably saying, your shit, you ain't nothing. He's chanting to me. Right, I'm here.
But, did you cash him off?
We know the funny thing in that game. I've had it, it's gone back and forth, and my sort of dad, my old coach, Terry, he sort of cottoned onto it, and he's gone, I'm going to go over there and tell him. And at that point, I was going to take a free kick. And he's walking, as I'm taking the free kick, my old coach, Terry's walking around behind me to go to the other side of the pitch to have a row with him. I said, tell. He goes, I'm going around here to say something to him. I said, tell, don't worry, watch this. And I've hit a corner and scored from the corner. I said, that shut him up.
And then, Terry just turned around
yeah,
and about
Terry just looking at me like that. And then I said, yeah, don't worry, till that, shut him up. And that was it. But yeah, just things like that. But I had loads. Like my local area, football aside, like trying to get my legs broken, whatever else, people used to just come from other areas, like say Tottenham and Edmonton and everything else, come to Enfield. And I remember being in a cinema once watching a film. I think I was watching that. I can't remember, was it called Running? So some old school 90s film or whatever it was, with about five of my mates, and people come up, one of my mates has gone out, he's coming back into the cinema, he said to me, son, there's about 20 kids out there, 15 kids out there, they want to weigh you in. They're waiting for you to come out of the cinema. And I froze.
Because you're Sonny Pike?
Yeah, just because, yeah. It was nothing to do with football, it's just obviously they knew me from the era. I was like, whoa, I thought, please don't let this film finish. I didn't want to go out. Do you know what I mean?
You couldn't wait a bit Green Mile, couldn't you? 3 hours.
That's it, yeah. Or the Irishman. So I've walked out and I'm thinking, oh, man, I want to walk out. I'm going to get weighed in, like, whatever. So I've walked out. Lucky enough, they wasn't there at that point. But I walked home and there's my park. They've gone to my local park. And as I've gone to get to my house, they've seen me from my house was literally there. And the park was there. They've seen me. They've all come running down the road. Honestly, they filled pretty much the whole street. They come running down at me. And one of them's cracked me. I've gone into the road. Yeah, big split lip. Run back into my house and whatever else. Yeah, so that was just one. I must have had that maybe 5 to 10 times. Like people coming into my school. I'm doing my classwork and they'll come running into school. A load of kids. Where's Sonny Bite? Yeah, and I'm like,
when you say there was nothing to do with football, it must be just bitterness. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Jealousy.
Yeah, I don't think it was nothing.
I will be at this point.
Still say like 12. Like, so my attention, I got a lot of attention from like, say, between 10. Actually, started from like local from like 8 to 10. But from like 10 to 14, 15 is when it all went like
ramps
McDonald's
up.
And Coca-Cola and Wembley. Doing the kick-ups in front of 80,000 and everything else. And that's when it was like, this kid's a celebrity kid or whatever, and they didn't like it. So, yeah.
That's fucking mind-boggling, by the way.
Mm.
And did that all start from, do you think it started from the Ajax?
Yeah.
That's when it really
Yeah, when I came back, because it was like London Tonight, then when I come back from Ajax, there was like, remember Transworld Sport, Football Mondial, all them old school sort of documentary makers, and Blue Peter. They was all there filming it, the whole thing. So when I come back, it was like, boom, and then all the other stuff started coming and it was just like snowballed, I think.
Were this happening to any other young kids in the country?
No. To be honest with you, I mean, there's loads of wonder kids now, and I get the questions a lot about on Instagram about, have you seen this kid like, I don't know, the Ronaldo kid, the Messi kid? There's loads of them. But then there was nothing. I never see anyone, especially to the sort of...
Do you think you were almost the blueprint of how not to do it?
Yeah, definitely.
And
100%.
Things have probably changed since point of, you know, you can't just blow a young kid to deal with that at that point to the level that it went to at such a young age.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely the blueprint and not to the way not to do it for sure, yeah.
How did it go at Ajax?
I was on trial there for just a week, played a game, drew 1-1, scored a goal from outside the box, actually. I'd done all right, but I've actually mentioned this before. Like, it was quite telling now, looking at it now, at that time, it wasn't. I was still a kid. But like the week we was there for, as I said, I had like three people making documentaries on me and I'm on trial. And like the bit that sort of summed it up a lot, when we had a game, I think on like a Saturday, on the Saturday at the end of the week at like say 2 o'clock kickoff or something. And I'd done media from like 5 o'clock in the morning for like 5 or 6 hours. And they, like my dad was going to me, like they want you up in the middle of the high street when it's dark, when the sun's coming through, they want you dribbling through the street. I'm like, yeah, but dad, I've got a game late at night that day. I want to be like fresh. Like, well, you've got to do what you've got to do. And I was just like, you know, I don't really want to do it, to be honest with you. Yeah. But I was always caught, I always felt a bit middled up where like I was in a position where I want to please my dad. But obviously I just wanted to concentrate on my football at the same time.
If you can remember at the time, where do you think you were? Do you think you were better than the lads that were there at Ajax? Or did you fit in terms of your ability and stuff?
Technically, they was all pretty good, to be fair. Like, so say over here, if I was like, technically better than most, let's say, and over there, I was as good, if not, I felt maybe even better than some of them. They was good, though. They was a level of compared to what it's like over here. I know it's changed a lot now. The academy's really good now. But I was on another sort of planet. I went and did training over there. There was a goal about this big. Like, and back then, we're talking about 25 years ago, you could just about fit the ball in it. And I walked out onto the pitch. I've gone to the coach, like, where's the goals? And it's like, yeah, there's some there. And it was like, this tiny little goal there, that big. Like, it's like, what's going on here? Sort of thing. Like, it's completely different where the pitches back at home was massive, full-size goals. Everything was like, they was like sort of light years ahead.
I think I'd have been I'm trying to put myself in that situation. I'd have been like, I'm on trial here. You know, if I've offered us a 5-year contract and stuff, then maybe get the cameras here. But I'm actually on trial. I still don't know if they're going to sign us, man.
Yeah. I'm doing kick-ups. I've got Tim Vincent behind me trying to give me a badge. And Bill Dunn, I'm trying to
got him.
I'm trying to
come and finish this Tracy Island.
Then we beat it, and I'm like, come get his badge. I'm like, what? I want a badge. Just let me.
Oh, so what, you know, like the other lads at Ajax then, who you playing and training with, were they like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
You can't have been well liked.
No. Nah.
If that happened the other way around and somebody came and there's all this camera around them, all the lads are like, who's this little fucking prick?
I'm better than him. How was he getting all that?
Yeah. Must be shit over in England.
Yeah, there's a couple of them though. I remember a guy called Rowan. He was the only one who could talk English, so I sort of stuck around him a lot because obviously it helps because the coach was all in Dutch. Then he'd say everything for me in English and everything else. But yeah, when I come back home, actually, they gave me a letter and they were saying about me going back out there and staying, like going out there every 3 months for a couple of weeks until I got a bit older and then see where it would have gone from there. But obviously then all the rest of it sort of goes where it goes.
So when did your first like sponsorship deal come in?
I'd say within after coming back from Ajax when I was like say 12, I'd say by the time I was probably say 12 within a few months that sort of all kicked off. I think the first sponsorship I had actually was like a local window company. They just gave me like some money to buy kit and this, that and everything else, and then I ended up with Mizuno. So I used to do a lot of stuff like catalogues and things like that. And like
Grimshaw's windows get fucked off. Sorry,
lads, I've bigger and better things.
Got a new conservatory in London.
So Zola was there. So I did like an advert thing with him. I was in, and Jamie Redknapp I met a few times because he was Mizuno. Like Rob Jones, I think, who played for Liverpool. And so I was mixing in and doing sort of catalogues and sort of filming things with them and everything else, which was nice. And then I ended up being sponsored by Paul Smith.
So clothes?
Yeah. So I ended up like in Covent Garden at their flagship store. I was invited to his party, like having parties there. And my dad would turn up. My mum was loving it. She's having a party there with Paul Smith, like Samuel Jackson. And like that. And I'm just there in the background.
Just like, doing kick-ups. with your glass of coke.
Yeah, that's it. I did. He had I always remember the front desk there where the cash till was. He's like, open it up. If you want anything out there, just grab it. And he had like all toothbrushes with like Paul Smith written on them and mugs. I just grabbed all sorts. I had like handfuls of little Paul Smith bits. And I was making me suits and things like that.
Are they coming to you or have you got somebody working for you at this time? Or are they just approaching you?
Probably a bit of both. But I think a lot of them was coming to me as well, to be fair, because like it's like Coca-Cola, McDonald's and these types of sort of things, is like get me a lot of attention at the same time. But I think my dad as well was talking to a few agents, and then he'd say, like, be with one agent for, like, say, a month or a year. I mean, 6 months or a year, and then he'd move on to another one, and then it would just sort of kept snowballing.
You obviously don't have to speak about figures, but, like, so Mizuno come to you and say, we want you to be the face of Mizuno.
Mm.
Is it, like, a lot of money that they're offering you?
Are you aware of the money?
Yeah,
that
was more of it. Like, so I might have got a few grand or something, but it could have been 100 grand. You know, to be fair, I never really got to know the ins and outs. All I did do, after a few years later, I got back to speak to a few people. Now I was asking them the sort of money I should have been getting and maybe did get. And they were saying, like, McDonald's adverts I did, I could have got like 100,000 for, like, in 30 years ago.
That's yeah. What I mean.
Yeah, and obviously Mizuno's and Paul Smith's and everything else.
I'm assuming that hasn't gone in like a trust fund or anything.
No,
for it.
No. I didn't end up with a big lump of money out of it. No. Well, I had maybe a couple of grand or something like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, maybe compared to, I looked at some of the bits he was doing, you could be talking like these days, I'd have probably had £1 million out of it or something like that.
Yeah.
But
did you get a McDonald's card though? Could you go and get as much as you wanted?
Yeah.
I think I'd keep the money.
Keep
the money, Ronald. I'll just have a McDonald's loyalty card. Lads, I'll take you out for tea.
Was it that week in Ajax when you thought, hold on a minute, this might be getting a bit too much?
Yeah. Well, it was the first little sign.
Start.
But it went on for another few years after that. And like, it got a bit sort of political, I suppose, a bit of a family warfare with me. Mum's in one ear saying, like, just keep being a kid and play your football. And then, as I said earlier, my dad was trying to push me into this sort of celebrity life. And I wanted to keep him happy at the same time and sort of do the football. So it was a bit of tossing and sort of turning. And then, you might even have it in your notes that I ended up being in a documentary on Channel 4. And it was about, I'd been in... done documentaries and that for a while, and it was apparently about me just coming through with being a player and whatever. And I was at Leighton Orient at this point. It was School of Excellence then, it wasn't Academy, and I was playing for Leighton Orient, and it was just about me progressing and doing well and everything else. And then when it got aired, it was actually me being poached by Chelsea. So when I watched it, it was like completely different to what I thought it was going to be when it came out. And my dad, like, what's going on here, sort of thing. Like, this has killed me. Like, they've got me training. They've got me playing a game on Leighton Orient's first team pitch. And then within 2 minutes later, I remember when they was doing it, I was gone training at Chelsea, and they got this guy with, like, a little camera hiding behind a curtain filming me. And when we went into the Chelsea training ground, Bernie Dixon was there, and he said, no, you can't bring that camera in here. He said, no, this is for, like, my dad and... And it was actually Greg Dyke who ends up running the FAS, where my sort of story goes even more unique. They was filming me, and then they put it on the TV as if, like, Chelsea was doing this big scam, trying to nick me from Leighton Orient. And then that ended up in court, and they was trying to get 90 grand for me, Leighton Orient was. And I was just like, this, and I'm watching it on the telly thinking, what the fuck's going on here, sort of thing. Like, and then to answer your question, that's when I knew the writing was on the wall. So I'm like, Dad, what's going on here? Like, do you know what I mean? So he was saying that Greg Dyke screwed him over, or it could have been that he knew what was going to go on, but he just wanted maybe the money from the documentary or whatever it was. I don't know. But what I do know, like, either way, it don't help me as a kid being a football player. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You ended up getting banned for that, didn't you?
Yeah. So because of that was going on, they was going back and forth. I couldn't play in it was School of Excellence then for the rest of that season.
Oh, yeah. So it wasn't a ban as such?
I was told I couldn't play at any School of Excellence for the rest of that season. So what I ended up doing is going back playing at a grassroots team for another season, which probably put me back.
Yeah. In terms of your development, that's key age, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But it was only like a year or two before you're going to get your YT or whatever.
It's like your life narrative, if you will, has been built by everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, all these commercial deals, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, they're building you as the next Maradona. The next, they're deciding that's who you are.
Oh, yeah, you're massive.
Because you're a decent player. But then your name is probably first on the list when it comes to doing an expose. Right, how's this documentary going to do well for a tapping up? Park's the biggest kid in the country.
Yeah.
If we can get him being tapped up, then this documentary is going to do well. Which
that's it, 100%.
They've built you up, as is the British way, to build you up to pull you back down again.
Yeah, as well, you've got that. But then the reality is that you're not actually playing games. You're not developing that side. So it's like going that way.
Well, exactly. I felt like I was sort of drowning, to be honest with you, because my profile and everything's getting high and everyone's going to me like, Sonny, bloody hell, you're worth a million. You're insured and you've got this and you've got that. I'm thinking, yeah, but I've barely touched the ball this week. I'm barely doing next to nothing. And it's true. I was literally, it was going like this. It was going that way. And I was just like, it did feel overwhelming.
Is that when your relationship with your dad started to suffer?
After that documentary came out, I didn't see him for about 3 weeks. And it was unlike him because when that actually was being aired, anytime anything like that was big, he'd be there with me and he wasn't there. And I remember watching it. It was in a pub, actually. I was watching it in a pub. They put a big screen out in the pub local next to me. It's like, Sonny's going to tell you. So I watched it. I was like, what? And I come out of the pub and I remember I ran into the middle of the road onto the roundabout and I actually felt like I wanted to throw myself in front of one of the fucking cars. I was just like, I've had enough of this. Like, this is too much.
And this is still at 14?
Yeah, this is at 14. And I went back training with my coach, Terry. And I didn't see my dad for a good few weeks. And all of a sudden, I see him appear at the corner of my eye as I'm doing a little bit of sort of one-to-one training on the side. And when I see him, I thought, I've got to pull him on this now and tell him, like, this is game over. Because I've been saying things for a while, saying, like, let me just carry on with my football. Like, because it killed me, that thing with Orient and Chelsea, because I just thought, just put me in Chelsea and leave me alone. Like, do you know what I mean? Or whatever it was, just leave me alone. And when I went to actually, it was crazy, because when I went to pull him, I said to him, like, I can't do this no more. He actually, the first thing he said to me, he goes, I've got some more work for you. I've got some more sort of TV work for you. I said, Dad, absolutely, it's killed me. Like, I can't do it no more. And then he said, it's killed me now. But he just said, if you don't do it, he goes, you ain't got a dad. And I was just like, what? And it just fucking broke me. Yeah. Yeah. And then from then, I haven't spoke to him.
You've not spoke to him since?
No, I haven't spoke to him since that last word, yeah.
So it's, I don't know, so say you're getting 10 grand for an advert. Are you seeing two and your dad's seeing eight?
I'll never know, so it's hard for me to say, yeah, but all I can say is that I never probably see maybe next to nothing compared to, I mean, what I was told, as I said, I went back and sort of spoke to people and they were saying, like, yeah, you should be getting 80 grand there, 90 grand or whatever, 10 grand there, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, no, there's not even...
Looking back to that period of your life, do you feel exploited?
Yeah.
By numerous...
You know what the thing is, though, as well, like, it's tough, because I definitely was... But at the same time, it sounds a bit weird. Well, maybe I'm a dad now, and I know sort of better through my own story. But there's an argument there to say that my dad just got caught up in it, and he just run with it. At the same time, probably thought he was doing the best thing, like in some ways, like getting him out there, this, that, and the other. But it just sort of crossed over when he was just like trying to say, like, you could be a presenter and all this to me. I'm like, I don't want to be a presenter. Like, I just. Stick to football, like, just stick to the football. And so there is an argument there to say that, like, he just maybe thought he was doing the best thing, but he just got, like, ooh, that really happened to families, is it? A kid that happens.
I mean,
he
must have been shocking.
Yeah, it's a proper, like, it's a one-of-a-kind sort of thing. So it's hard to tell.
It's sad as well, especially when you said at the start he was supportive and he'd get you anything you wanted, do anything, take you anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, he's made the decision to write and get a, you know, see a pound note come on.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's
yeah.
kind of...
Well, like, sometimes it could be a little bit ego-driven, like getting well-known for being this and this, that and the other. Like, everyone's got one, isn't they? Like,
which is fine.
Yeah, which is good. But you've got to, it's more like sort of controlling it instead of sort of exploiting it. Like, do you know what I mean?
I can't imagine the situation, because it's a strange place for a kid to be, I imagine. Because you idolise your idols are your adults, aren't they, in your life?
Yeah. And then,
when you're doing a McDonald's advert, you're a kid and you're the centre of attention. I imagine there's all these adults behind the camera and everything, and you're the spotlight's on you. And it's a weird place for a kid to be, that.
I tell you, the one that just made me think just that what was a weird one. In 95 and 96, Sky, which is like when Premier League sort of kicks off, isn't it? Like within them few years. And obviously sort of building the Premier League. And for 95 and 96, they gave me an award for the youngest player, which is a award I've never known to be given out before or after. But obviously they're building Premier League. So, and this is where my sort of story is interesting as well, because I sort of jump into that where they're building that sort of celebrity side and football, and they've given me this sort of award on 95 and 96, and I'm sort of picking up an award for really, to be honest with you, I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm still playing like academy football or school of excellence football, but I've done nothing. The truth is. And I've got like Alex Ferguson and Dalglish and Shearer going, Sonny, well done. And this and the other. And I'm like, looking, there's like 8,000 people there in like like Canary Wharf. And they were going, yeah. And I remember just looking in the crowd and just seeing people like Shearer and things like that. And I would imagine like Becks and whatever. And they're all probably there. And I'm like,
I'm thinking, you know, because you said your family's not got a football background.
No.
I wonder if that's gone against you. Because again, I put myself in that situation. Mm. And I pick up this award, my dad would be like, but you've done nothing yet, son.
Your dad, yeah, played,
that's
didn't
right.
Because yeah, he'd been in football.
Yeah.
Yeah, see it. Yeah.
And it, like I say, your dad was a football fan. You kind of like, you get that.
In and around, yeah.
Yeah.
Knock you back down.
Yeah.
And go,
yeah.
You still need to work hard. You've 100%. Done fuck all.
100%.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
A little break in play, gents, for a thank you to our sponsor for this episode, NordVPN. I don't know if you're aware of it. Are you aware of NordVPN?
No.
Well, for everybody out there as well, NordVPN is the number one for bouncing your geolocation. So maybe a game's only on in China, for instance, and you want to watch it, Barnsley v Nottingham Forest, all of a sudden use NordVPN on the subscription, and you're in China watching that game, John.
So let me just get this right. So I'm sat in Barnsley.
Yeah.
There's a game on in China.
It's been shown in China.
But an English game, yeah. Shown in China.
Yeah. Use NordVPN.
And that makes my computer seem like it's in China.
And you're watching that game. Sat there with a sweet and sour, watching Barnsley v Nottingham Forest.
Well, I didn't even know what a VPN were.
What's the quality like?
Oh, it's the number one quality for all VPN services as well.
Buffering?
No buffering. No, we don't do no buffering.
So I think what game to watch this weekend?
And not only that, there's like your Netflix services as well. That some shows are only available in America. You can use your VPN. And not only that, with NordVPN, they provide a security service as well. So all your passwords, all your bank details, and everything with a subscription, completely secure on 6 devices as well. That 6 devices.
So I can watch any game from
your mind's
the world.
Blown, innit?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And as always, we've got a special offer. We've got a Kosh code.
We always have special offers. That's why they call us the good guys.
All you've got to do is click on the link in the description and you'll get the special offer with anti-malware and threat protection as part of your subscription. So all you've got to do is click on that link. Before you know it, you'll be watching that game.
So just to clarify, I can watch any game.
Any game. Well, not any... Any game that's being broadcast, yeah.
Right, perfect.
Yeah. How good's that? So, massive thanks to NordVPN.
Yeah, thank you. And what game am I going to watch this weekend? That's my only problem in life now. What game am I going to watch this weekend? It's fucking mesmerising. Mm. I think it gets to the... Like, obviously, everybody wants the best for the kids, and I'm sure... To start with, that was your dad's intention.
Yeah.
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 But when your son's saying, look, I've had enough for all that, like, can we knock it on the head, Dad? I think that's the point where you'd think,
yeah,
right, okay, my boy's had enough now. Yeah. Or all that shit. Go and crack on and play football.
Because, I mean, wind that back even when it's still... I'm going in some, like, people coming downstairs to film at my house. I'm going upstairs having panic attacks, crying. That went on for a couple of years. Like, Dad, I've had enough of this. Like, I don't want to do it. And he's like... Oh, you've got to do this and the other, and I'm like, I couldn't breathe and this, that and the other, and I'm full of tears. Leave me upstairs for half hour, let me calm down, and I go back downstairs and play the part of Sonny the Wonder Kid or whatever else. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Was there ever a point that you believed the hype and then there was like a realization of, do you know what, maybe I need to concentrate on my football. Me, 12-year-old, everybody's telling me I'm the best player in the world. I'm believing it. I've got a swag.
Another one, when I come out of them awards, like that time in the Sky Sports, and I come out and they pick me up in the limo, and I'm getting driven out in the limo, and as you're coming through, people are trying to snap you through windows and bang on the window and all that, and I'm looking, it was pitch black, and I remember just having this gold sort of award in my hand. I just thought, bloody hell, like, I've cracked it here. Like, honestly, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, like, bloody hell, like, I'm young enough to think, is that real gold, solid gold? Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? I'm thinking I've hit the jackpot sort of thing. And then, like you said, maybe then a few years later, and then you're thinking, like, come on, son, you're off it sort of thing. Yeah. Sort of reality sort of it's when all that sort of stuff's finished and it's just you and you're going on the train to Stevenage every day and you're thinking to yourself, are you really at it? Do you even, I started to question myself, do you even want to be here anymore? So, like, mindset started to change, you know what I mean? Like, everything started to sort of gear up in the other direction.
I'll be honest with you, I think I'd be walking down Enfield High Street with my Mizuno boots on.
Drinking you coke with a bag of macarons and be like, fuck you.
Paul Smith hat on.
Paul Smith gear on.
The thing with Ajax, they've said you're going to come over for a couple of weeks and you turn that down. What was the, from going to Leighton Orient, what was the bit in between? Did you say you were 14?
When? No, I was about 12, yeah. So
You got the ban?
No, about 14.
Yeah, so I come back
from Ajax and I pretty much go to Leighton Orient for a season and couple of years, first year, about 13, and then by the time 14 comes, then the sort of documentary comes out. It's called Fair Game. But then, yeah.
Did you go to Palace as well?
Palace? After that, yeah. After that sort of ban had gone, then I played for a grassroots play for another year. Then I had one season to try and get back in the door and get a YT at a club. And I went to Palace. Was there for, like, say, 6 months. And then a while had gone. And then I hadn't spoke to my dad for all that time because of what I said happened with my dad and everything else. And I was hoping that was all going to go sort of quiet, that sort of side of it. And I was just going to get back into football. I was on my own. But I didn't mind because I had friends' dads taking me to football and my mum was taking me and everything else. And I played a game. Actually, I'll tell what happened. I'd been there for, like, say, 6 months. And on a Sunday, News of the World. Like, News of the World back then was everything, wasn't it? Like, a double page spread of News of the World. My dad had done the story in there. And I hadn't spoke to him for ages. Like, football breaks up family. And it named all the clubs. Like, Manchester United offered me a villa. Aston Villa offered me £100,000. Tottenham offered me this and all this. And then it's got me and a broken up family.
Right.
Yeah, you know, bits of it. As far as I did have a lot of scouts. I mean, I used to be in my living room and there'd be people just knocking. I'd be watching Home and Away and there'd be kids, like, scouts knocking on the door. And I'd be like, Dad, Mum, there's a scout outside. Do you know what I mean? And there was scouts coming, but then I don't never know if they got offered these extra bits and pieces. I don't know if that was for clout or whatever else. But there was clubs asking me, put it that way. But, I mean, I don't know how far it went with everything else. I think that happened in the News of the World. And the day after that, Crystal Palace called me in and said, we want to play in a game against Spurs. And like a couple of days later, because that had come out the day before, I'd put so much pressure on myself because obviously this is like red hot news. Like, people are coming up to me left, right and centre in the street. Like, and I've gone and played in this game against Tottenham and I sort of froze up on the pitch, walked out onto the pitch because I put so much pressure on myself. Like, oh, this is just everywhere now. Like, and it's non-stop. And I've not spoke to my dad for a while, but it's still going on. So I've got to sort of deliver and I was telling myself I've got to be beating everyone on the pitch and doing X, Y, Z. I took a couple of touches out of my body and like my touch was off and I was just like, oh. I remember just going, I think it's his name's something Sprockett, Martin Sprockett, I think he was the manager at Palace. And I just said to him, take me off. I said, I'm injured. He's like, what are you done? I was like, I'm injured. But I thought, fuck this, I'm done. Like, I literally felt like the ground was eating me up. I was just like, just get me off this football pitch. I've had enough. And like, mentally, I was just shot. Complete to bits. I got and sat in the changing room. I was just like, I just...
Drained.
Yeah, I just felt absolutely shattered, like, as if I just run a marathon. And I was just like, I've had enough. And then it was weird, actually, because when all the boys come back in for the rest of the game, it was only like, say, I'd only played not long for the rest of the game. And there was another boy who was playing for Spurs who was meant to be like a wonder kid, and they was coating him. And I was going, he ain't all that good. He was nothing, this, that, and the other. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, imagine what they're saying about me in the other changing room. Like, yeah. I'm the one 10 times more known than him. Imagine what they're saying. I've walked off the pitch. Like, yeah. So that's when it really sort of like hit me mentally. I sort of struggled massively. Yeah,
imagine now, you, any of us at this table being a double page spread in News at World and reporters coming to like 14 year old, like, and you expect like taking that pressure on. Like, most adults couldn't take that without head wobbling.
What were your pals like? You know, your mates, like, not from football, just your pals who you mated about with. Were they like, do you think you end up getting the old hanger-oners, or?
I always got a lot of people just wanting to be.
Yeah, more girls in the playground.
It wasn't our fault.
Girls around. Girls around.
All right, there's some good points.
First day, we're always McDonald's.
To be fair, my mates, my sort of, as you said, like my normal sort of mates, they was all right, but it was hard because I couldn't really talk to them and sort of say, do you know what I mean? Because they're like, Sam, what's going on with you? Who's out of the world? So I couldn't really sort of get that back and forth with them. Like, if it's a normal stuff, like, let's say, for instance, today, with my mates, they've got problems with my ass and this, that, and the other. I say, oh, do you know what I mean? But when I'm talking about what was happening with me, I couldn't really get no one back to sort of get that conversation going. I needed to talk to like Macaulay Culkin or something, or if I'm alone or something. Do you know what I mean? I needed to talk to someone that sort of side. Yeah. It was weird.
He's popped into my head, him. Do you know, like, when you're talking about like all the pressure and everything, and he's fucking off the rails now, isn't he?
But I mean, look at, generalise it with any child star, you know, Lindsay Lohan, Macaulay Culkin, you know.
Wrecking Ball, what's she called?
Miley Cyrus, yeah. Like, all those people. Generally, they go a bit off the rails, and the relationships with the parents generally, Britney Spears generally really deteriorate. Corey Feldman, they're all, they don't have that relationship with the parents anymore, that, like, the pressure that it puts on. Celebrity for a kid is
it's tough.
A lonely place to be, I imagine.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's got its up points. And to be fair, nowadays, I can sort of see, like, when I did Wembley and done all the kick-ups in front of everyone, I was like Leeds Villa, I did the kick-ups in the middle of the centre of the pitch, and now I can look back and think, God, that was brilliant. Do you know what I mean? So there is certain bits of it now. I think, I'll just take it. Like, that was a good experience, you know what I mean? But at the time, don't really appreciate and don't enjoy it because there's just a lot of pressure there at the same time.
What was the agent situation back then? I know, did you have four agents in you?
Yeah, I think around like four or five agents, yeah.
Eric Hall?
I had Eric Hall.
That one with cigar?
Yeah,
Monster.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And his little... his little office in Star Street. I was like, Star Street. And then he's in there doing cigarettes. I remember walking into his office and he goes, I've got someone on the phone for you. And all right, picked up the phone. He goes, why aren't you at fucking training? I went, who's that? He goes, like, Vinnie Jones. And then he was going to me, why are you? I was like, don't worry, I'll be there. I'll be going training tonight, this, that, and the other. And I thought, fair play to him. Like, he's put it on me straight away. To me. I could have done a bit more of it. I had Eric Hall.
And were they focusing on your football at all? Or was it?
Frustrating,
isn't it?
And I had Michael Jackson's, I forgot the guy's name, but it was Michael Jackson's agent. So anytime Michael Jackson come to England, he would use this agent, and I had him, obviously doing whatever else he was doing, and I had another couple of agents, Guy Andrews, a bit later on, only for a while, but it was, as I said, most of it was all for, like, media work. Yeah.
Was there any of them that focus on your football? And
Sky Andrews asked me. Sky Andrews asked me if I could play, but I was finished. I didn't play football for a year. That was later on. I didn't play football for a year. Yeah, and he said, and he sort of randomly called me up. I was like, say,
so is this after the Crystal Palace?
After the Palace. I've been at QPR as well for the rest of that season, and then I'd given up football after that Palace game, which I haven't mentioned. I ended up just wanting to sort of top myself, to be honest with you. Because I got that low.
Seriously, to that point.
No, I've got honest, 100%. We was out on our bikes and we was going into London. It takes about 45 minutes from where I live. We used to just drive around the West End on our bikes or go wherever. And I just pulled the bike up near a bridge. I was going to chuck myself at a bridge at one point because it was going down a hill. I thought, I'd just let them all go. I just need to... And it was weird because I never woke up that morning and thought that. But as I was driving past it, I thought, I need to let them go down. I need to go back and have a little look. It was like, thinking like, do you know what I mean? It's just not like me, do you know what I mean? But I stopped here and I just walked back and I had a little nose. I'm looking over, I got back on my bike. Yeah, so I sort of struggled big time. Yeah, on that sort of side of it straight away.
What was the main thing, if you remember back? What the main trigger for having them kind of thoughts?
It was what happened because I walked off the pitch and I knew my football was done. I knew it in my own mind. And I thought I had to make a decision because I started to do, I thought like that, even just for that thought to come in my mind and stop that bike and walk back. I thought to myself on that drive back on the way back, I've either got to leave football or sort of sort myself out mentally because I could see where it was going. Do you know what I mean? I could have ended up in all sorts of trouble. So that's when I actually ended up going to Stevenage and spoke to my mum and I had my good friend Daniel Buck and my coach Terry sat around the table and said, look, go play for Stevenage. Don't put no pressure on yourself. Don't be thinking like you've got to be a football player. Just go there and enjoy being a football player. And like, so I went and did that. But like my ambition had gone. Like,
you needed that 4 years ago. By the sound of it, you needed conversation.
Yeah, I did. But my ambition to be a football player by then was completely sort of gone. Mm. And I was just gone there and I was going there more for the sort of social side of it and just being in the changing room with the boys and, do you know what I mean? And sort of just trying to enjoy it a bit more, get back to how I first started doing it. So
you're trying to get rid of that expectation in your head as well, you know, everybody else is, because it's all right putting pressure on yourself, but you like everybody who's there thinks, They've read it all. You're the next Maradona. Yeah. You're the next Rangers. Yeah. So it's everybody else's expectation that you're going to be unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to be, just go back to being a normal kid, one of the team, and just be one of the boys. That's all really all I wanted to do anyway, to be honest with you. So yeah, I ended up back at Stevenage. And then, as I said, after that, a season after that, going into the first season of me not playing football, Sky Andrews asked me to come up in his office and I went and had a little chat with him. He said, can you play Championship? Can you play Premier League football? I said to him, look, I've always said the same thing as what I'd probably say now. Technically, I'm all right, but I was mentally completely shot by then, truthfully. And physically, I was probably not as fit and strong and all that sort of side of it hadn't been developed nowhere near compared to what that was like then, another 4 or 5 years ago. We're little men, do you know what I mean? It's completely, I needed a lot of work, put it that way. And trying to explain to him like what I've put in my book in a 2 minute sitting down in an office with him. Like, do you know what I mean? You're never going to get that all across, are you? Do you know what I mean? And I ended up, he actually ended up putting me into someone else who worked for him and trying to put me into a program that's on Sky Sports called Dream Team. Remember it?
Yeah, they
was going to do
it. So another fucking television
I've
got your contract.
I'm talking to him one thing, I'm thinking, oh, lovely, like, he's going to get me back in football again. All right, can you go talk to him over there? No, went over there. And he said, yeah, Dream Team have asked you to join, get signed in as Sonny Pike.
Fuck.
Yeah.
And well, basically, he's just thinking, I can make a few quid out of him still.
Mm. Yeah.
Not really asked about the football bit.
No, yeah. I mean, it's just a couple of questions, but then ended up in there. And as I said, I hadn't been playing football for like a year. And half of me was just like, you know what? I'm not going to play football anymore. I've got nothing to lose. So I actually went for an audition and I auditioned in it and they said, like, you know what, we'll put you in it, but you've got to go and do a drama thing and this, that and the other. And I said, like, I did like 2 weeks and I was just like, what am I doing, Sonny? It's a Friday night, all my mates are in the pub and I'm here trying to do all this stuff thinking, Sonny, what are you doing? Like, you're going around in circles here. So I just like I sacked that off and just went to see my mates and went into that sort of side of it. And I hadn't even drunk. Since then, I was like the latest out of all my mates to start drinking. Like, they've all been drinking 13, 14 and whatever, smoking in playgrounds and whatever. I ain't touched a thing. And I'm sort of jumping in with them and I've gone straight into the deep end and I, like, don't take long. I'm absolutely battered.
Can you remember at that time, though, did you just feel a sense of everything just off your back, like the weight of the world off your shoulders? Just like, right, I can take the mask off now and stop.
Yeah.
I can just be one of the lads.
Exactly, yeah, and that's it. And I was trying to sort of find my real, like, who I really was, really, because a football aside, that's all everyone just associated me at as like the football wonder kid with the curly hair and the golden boots and the £1 million legs. But really, like, what was I all about? So even though, to be fair, at that point, when I stopped playing football, when I sort of, let's say, went off the rails for 4 or 5 years and sort of done maybe like what people do, drinking and everything else, it weren't until after that, really, I sort of find out what I was about, I suppose.
It is. It's like you just never really had a childhood then, did you, really?
No, but that sort of... The normal side of it, yeah. I didn't do a lot of I couldn't go to like friends' birthday parties and things like that. I said, no, you can't do that. You've got to be here, you've got to be there and everything else. I mean, things like silly things like that, do you know what I mean?
But, how important is a 12, 13, 14-year-old? Yeah. You know, like, might think, oh, it's just a birthday party. I'm doing an advert for McDonald's. But that's just not normal growing up and being a kid, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think that's why, that's the excuse I give myself. Like when it got to like, say, 19, 20, I was just in there with the boys and amongst it until I was like, say, 23, 24, whatever else, from 19 to that sort of age, and sort of got and done all the boys' holidays and everything else. But actually, you know, the funniest thing, one of the first boys' holidays I went, I think I went to Magaluf, and that's a mad place at the normal is the time.
Good place to start, mate.
Yeah, it's good. I went to Magaluf, went into some bar, and there was a day football's five-a-side competition now. And so it's, obviously it's just like boys swimming trunks, just playing five-a-side. And we've gone in there, and there was like boards, it was like a big bar area, and then a football pitch out the front, like a five-a-side football pitch. And everyone's putting their names of their team and all the players underneath. And it's got Enfield, whatever we was called, my boys, and obviously my name. Playing a couple of games, some of the boys have cottoned on to who I was.
Have you cut the hair off at this
point? No, the hair's gone. But obviously the name, name and Enfield and everything else, some of the boys, like there's boys from up north, there's boys from all over the place, they've cottoned on and I'm getting rattled in games and I'm going away. But I didn't care, I was just getting amongst it. But I've ended up in this bar later on in the evening. We'd won this competition, by the way, and I'd done well. I'd scored a couple of goals and everything. So it was a good night for the boys. We're going out having a drink. And we've gone into some bar and the boys that we played in the final, as soon as they've walked in, there's eyes on me like that. I'm like, oh, fuck me. It's going off. Like, I could tell it's going to go off. And I said to some of my mates, I said, see them little lot we played in the final? I tell you now, we're going to have a punch up here in a minute. 100%. And I was like, what? What do you mean? I said, they're coming here and their eyes just on me, like nonstop. Everyone, and they've got round to me. A couple of things just said, I can't even remember. Bang, one of them tried to hit me. It was going off on the dance floor. Someone's thrown a bottle at me. I've skipped me and smashed all the, you know, the bits behind the bar. Like, whoa.
What?
Yeah, it's gone off. It probably went off. And then the sort of bouncers have ushered us all at the front. But unlucky for me, obviously these bouncers, I remember one of a big bouncer, he must have been like from Newcastle, his accent, he was massive. They knew him. So he was in with the bouncer, this other little group was in with these bouncers.
He was on their team.
Like, I stood there like, yeah, they've come way out. I thought, oh, mate, I'm going to get absolutely waiting. And one of them's come to me, I've ended up having a punch-up with him in the middle of the street, right? And then loads of them just got on top of me, lost me chain, weighed me in, and I was on the floor. People trying to eat their dinners on the corners. I'm lying there on the floor, like, in the mid down the strip. Tony Pike, this, that, and the other. And then I got up, and I'll never forget, as I've got up, I thought, all right, I'm a bit banged up, my shirt's ripped, bit of blood coming down me, everything else. All right, let me get away. As I walked away, the Spanish police are running at me with their batons going, whoa! I'm going, look, I thought, first thing I say to them, I'd only had like one drink. I said, first thing I say to them, like, I'm not drunk. Like, because I know they think like you're paralytic. They said, I'm not drunk. They went, bang, smashing me around the head, got me on the floor. I've still got scars up my leg now. And they're just, bang, bang, I'm on the floor. I'm just like, fucking hell, now the Spanish old bill banger. I couldn't get away from it. I was just like, honestly, it's fucking, I thought, what the fuck am I going to do? I went up running down the beach, got away from it. And lucky enough, they just left me, but they give me a beating as well. And like, just really, it all come down to, it's from me playing in that, being Sonny Pike again. Do you know what I mean? I think I can't get away from it as a kid. Like, at school, I used to have all the drama. I used to smash my mum's car up on the drive. And then now, I'm getting it again. Just, oh, for fuck's sake, do you know what I mean? The next morning, I'm around the pool. I think I went there for 2 weeks or something like that. And it's a long shift. Yeah.
It's a long stint.
First one, so I didn't have a clue. Yeah, so but, I mean, I've got friends of mine taking clothes and washing them there and everything. Like, we're going for it. So the next morning, I actually woke up and a friend of mine had given me a book. And I mean, in this time we're talking about sort of, I hadn't spoke to my dad and my mum hadn't been with my dad since I've been about, say, 6, 7 years old. And my mum's got a new sort of guy on tow. And he's only been around for a few months. So I'm not going to be early 20s now sort of thing. And a couple of family friends have said, like, you know, he's a bit dodgy, this guy. Do you know what I mean? Like, and they're like, all right, whatever. He seemed nice, a nice enough bloke to me. He was a nice enough bloke, to be fair. He was all right. But and as I said, on this holiday, someone's give me this book and said, do yourself a favour. Why are you anonymous? Read this bit of book. And he's in this bit of book, you know. I said, all right. Anyway, so anyway, after all the dramas of that night, I woke up next morning, like, just like, I'm thinking like, I'm sort of starting my new life, no football, no pressure. And I'm reading this book, and there's a couple of pages. His name, I'll just say his name. Let's just say his name's Jay, yeah? But obviously, I don't want to say his name. But so I'm looking up on a couple of pages on this book, and it's actually called The Untouchables. So it's like a lot of well-known people that are up to no good in that sort of world. And I'm reading the stories about it, and I'm thinking, bloody hell, this guy's living up my ass now. Like, and like,
I'm watching Corey with him off now.
I've gone from like one world to another, and I'm reading bits and pieces. I'm thinking, like, I didn't know to be sort of, at a young age, I was quite impressed in some ways. You know what I mean? I'm saying 20, I wasn't as old as that. I was probably about, say, 18 or something like that. Half of me is impressed because they're talking about him like doing robberies for like millions of pounds, like £1.2 million he'd done a robbery for, and they tied up a security guard and stuck a bomb around his waist. And things like that, and I'm like,
so it's quite know, heavy, like
licking sweets, like it was, and then telling me stories, bits and pieces about how the bloke's wet himself when he did it, and this, that, and the other, and I was like, fucking hell, man, this is a serious sort of chap. And I went back home from that, and I was like, as I said, I was like sort of to and fro at that age, so I'm sort of looking for a new identity and a new job, but I weren't really sort of thinking that line. But at the same time, that's my environment. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's living at my house now.
Yeah.
So now I'm seeing things day to day. And
has he, like, have you, no inkling before you got that book, like?
People had said, like, you know, he's a bit lively, this fella. Like, yeah. From the East End, like, he's done this and done that and whatever else. I'm like, okay, whatever, it seems all right.
But you hadn't had a conversation?
No, nothing. I mean, not really like that. It's not like, it was quite
you don't
into
talk
it.
About
do you know
it.
What I mean? I think when people that are right into it don't really sort of say, oh, I've done this, I've done that.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, whatever. And as I've read the book, and I've gone back home, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, like, I don't know what to do. Like, and I sort of, for a while, I sort of, not got involved, but I was around him a lot. So if he was out and about in the day and I wasn't doing anything, weren't working, I would sort of float around with him in his places and you'd be seeing this, that, and the other. Do you know what I mean? I'd be thinking, Jesus Christ. And then I ended up involved like that, but I was sort of moulding that way. I could tell because I started turning to think I was like a little Dell boy. Do you know what I mean? I started to buy like £1,000 worth of Viagra and go and take them into the pub on the weekend, and I'm selling Viagras and things like that. Do you know what I mean? So I was sort of moulding in to like this sort of, I was never doing anything too like bad, lucky enough, but I was sort of moulding into this sort of character.
It's a start though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And I was doing things and I was like,
starts with slippers, Viagra.
Yeah.
Well,
next thing you're selling class A's.
Yeah.
I ended up at Wembley Market outside the stadium selling like fake Avisu clothes and like trainers and market stalls, like selling counterfeit goods and things like that. And I'm sort of moulding into this other
way up.
Yeah. I've ended up doing things like that. And
did you ever have the conversation with your mum?
No, she was quite good at just sort of keeping her mouth, sort of letting her
brush it off. She
just keep completely sort of out of it. But I did hear her pulling him a few times, like, don't bring him out there with you, don't let him come with you. But I did go out there with him a few times, and at some point he ended up arrested. I actually just got myself working. I just started to do a chippy course, actually, at that point. I started to do a carpentry course, and I was actually got my first job like three doors down from where I lived, and I was actually on above their door, just putting a little roof on above someone's door. And as I'm doing that, I've only been doing a chippy course for a few months, and I could see him walking around outside my house, just because there's a couple of doors down with my big dog. I used to have a big, massive French Mastiff, you know, them big, massive dogs. And I was looking at him, and then all of a sudden, plainclothes police just burst out, about four cars, about 20 people, wrapped him up. And I've got a nail with my hand, and I'm like, that was going on. Shit, but the guy I was working for, I said, that's your dad, is that your stepdad? And I was like, yeah, it is, or mum's boyfriend or whatever. I said, yeah, it is. He said, you need to go. I said, yeah, I think I do. So I quickly shot back home, and there's like police all over my ass, and they've been doing surveillance on my ass for 6 months and whatever else. And he ends up in Belmarsh prison, like top security, everything else. And I just got myself in a bit of a scenario. Like, we're over them few years, where he sort of come in at the end bit when I was going into Stevenage and then this, that and the other. He was good to me. Like, he'd give me, if I was going to Stevenage, he'd pay for my train fare. He'd give me £20 a day for me. So he was, I'm not talking about a guy that's like a horrible sort of guy, like, yeah, at the same time, but he obviously done what he done at the same time. So I had a bit of a thing for him where I felt like I did need to help him. And he was, he said he was in prison and he'd been out in Holland doing whatever he was doing. And he had some people out there that he needed to get hold of and sort of come back and come in the court for him and say, sort of go with his story, what he said he was doing in Holland and what the police said he was doing in Holland. And I actually ended up back out in Amsterdam a few years later.
looking
for, like, this guy was probably known to be like an hitman or something like that. Do you know what I mean? And I'm out there with a scrap. Honestly,
man on tin.
I'm in a visiting at Belmarsh and he's gone to me, he's left me a bit of paper and it's got an address of a place I'd actually been there before. With, like, on a weekend when he was staying out there in Holland, I'd been there with my mates having a weekend in Holland. I said, yeah, like, my stepdad's got a place there. Actually, turned out when I used to go in there, it was someone else's flat, but they used to just let him stay in there for a few months or whatever else. So I was like, what's these pictures, all these papers? I was like, yeah, but when your stepdad comes, you have to move them out and he comes in. I was like, all right. So I'd been there a few times, but he'd give me the address where I'd been. And I'm ended up around for, like, it was just like just about half hour out of Amsterdam. I'm looking for this guy. I've got this address. And I actually ended up finding the place. Yeah.
So you had to find this guy?
I had to find this guy. Just going to help him sort of back his story. That the fact, right, what he was doing in Holland, he owned a couple of bars in Holland.
Ah, right. I thought it was like Sonny Pike the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. I was there to sort of get him to write a statement. And so if he had to come back to thingy, would he do it and everything else? So I had a little mission on me hand sort of thing. And I found the guy and he did it. He signed me a bit. But I thought, what am I going to walk into here? Because these guys are obviously naughty serious boys, sort of people. I could end up banging trouble. So when I found the place, I'm knocking on the door, I'm thinking, please don't answer this door. Like, I could get wrapped up and taken in there and all sorts, like, sort of heavy duty guys, do you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, I did find myself in a few little scenarios to say, but I got myself out of that one. And a few months later, I was back home. I'd done what I said I was going to do and helped him out a little bit. And I was fitting kitchens and then I got a phone call saying, he was in court and he ended up getting 22 years in prison. And that really swerved me away from the Del Boy stuff and put me back onto just being a builder, or whatever I wanted to do.
I don't want to know more of these tracks. So thank you very much.
I completely swerved that sort of life.
But that would probably fortunate that if you were thinking, there's a good chance I could go down this way, though.
Well, as you said, I suppose you start off with little bits and pieces like that, and then you're seeing someone else doing something else that's probably more risky, but they're getting hundreds of thousands. You might start thinking, you know what, I'm taking a bit of a risk. I'll take a bit of a bigger risk. I suppose that's how it works out. But luckily enough, it weren't for me.
Any Viagra on you now, by the way? I'm struggling a bit at minute, like.
You have a banging headache.
He will.
from that point, what was the journey up like up to today? What are you doing now?
So as I said, I was actually did a carpentry course. So I got like a level 2 in carpentry. I did that for like say 4 or 5 years, which took me up to say 23, 24. And then my daughter was born. And then when she was like, after a few months of her being born, I was really sort of, so I just screwed my head on a little bit. I've got to sort myself out here. I've got to get myself a job. And the building work at that point was in and out. So I thought, I need to do something where I'm going to be sort of my own boss. And I ended up doing the knowledge to be a black cab driver, which took me just over 3 years to do. So I was out doing that, passed the knowledge. Actually think that knowledge process helped me big as well, because so much studying involved mentally. It sort of took me away from everything. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was sort of studying on the books and this, that, and the other. I was getting a lot sharper as well. I was like, you have to remember all the points, this, that, and the other. So I think that helped me quite a lot, because like all the mental health problems and everything else I had.
Give you a focus.
It just gave me another focus in life. And my daughter was born and I sort of bought a house. And then my other daughter was born. And then my son was born. And then, everything over the last, say, like 10, 15 years of, I'm sort of normal, which I prefer. It's excellent for me. Everyone's like, you ain't doing this, that, and the other. I said, yes, all right, go work, go home, lovely, got the kids. Boots me down to the ground.
Simple world. It's yeah, simple it's word, right. Normal, isn't it? But
yeah, most enjoyable. Maybe.
Yeah. Do you think if you'd have been a good footballer as opposed to an outrageously good footballer, you'd have gone on to have a career?
I've never thought of that, to be fair, but it probably would have worked in some ways because of the sort of the sort of sidetrack and everything else I went down, I wouldn't have probably got.
Whatever level you'd have had to end up having a career in football?
I mean, it's hard to tell, isn't it? But I'd like to think, you'd like to think so, but like it's hard to sort of predict everything that you would have definitely done it, but it would have definitely done me a favour if I would have just sort of been, like I said when we started, when it was just like local, if it would have just stayed like that and I just got put into a school of excellent academy and sort of been forgot about, been easier for me just to concentrate. And
yeah.
You get many people coming up to you and asking you advice and stuff about, they've got kids your age, you know, that 10, 11 stage. You get many people asking what route they should go down and stuff.
Yeah, I get quite a lot, to be fair. I get it from parents, also the players, but then even like some other journalists and this, that and the other. This is like quite a big topic on Wonder Kids now. There's kids out there now that are 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, got 100,000 followers, million followers, and getting deals and this, that and the other, and it's sort of replicating similar to what's happened.
It's like
me,
what you were saying before, John, about it being, it would have been so much worse, more bigger had social, but I suppose there are kids.
Yeah, there is.
Going through, because I imagine there was a period in time where your example was brought, pulled the brakes on a little bit. We can't exploit kids. We can't push them into the limelight. But now with social media, I imagine it's up there again.
Yeah, because you can sort of use your kids to say, like, come, we're going to do this now. Do me a trick or do me something, this, that and the other. And it gets them more views and likes and everything else. And then it all kicks on. As a parent, I'd just say, like, you've got to be checking in on, I'd be checking in on myself. Do you know what I mean? I'd be thinking, hang on, am I driving him a bit mad? Is he doing too much?
Yeah.
Like, just let him sort of get on. Where you look on some of them, which people have sent me already, there's kids out there now that got their own clothing lines and brands and everything else, and they're only, like, say, 8 years old and everything. And I'm thinking, really? Does he have a clue of what a clothing line even is? He's only 8. Do you know what I mean? And this, that and the other. And there's a lot of that out there now.
Sounds like exactly the same as what...
Yeah, I know, but it's just more of them now. There's loads of them there. Like with social, as you said, with social media, you can just do it on your own. Yeah. You don't need the cameras to come around. You can say, go on, do a couple of tricks and get things, and they do a few reels and it gets bigger and everything else.
Mm.
Yeah, there's a lot of them now.
Have you been like playing a bit of advisory role?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of clubs I've gone into and spoke to like older players.
No one better, I imagine, to provide that advice. You've lived it.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, so as I said, I've been into a few clubs and a few colleges. I went up to Leeds, done some bits up there and done a few talks. But yeah, I get a lot on my like Instagram page. I've got my own normal page and I've got my football page. I get a lot of parents messaging me, like saying, what should I do with my kid? I actually got a guy a couple of weeks ago saying his son's been scouted by Ajax. Should I take him? Yeah, and he's from like Liverpool area. I was just like, well, talking to him about this, Danny, and what happened with me, and so yeah.
So what would, I've got a 10-year-old wonder kid. What would your advice be then?
My first thing that I always think of, just probably from my own experience, was always to sort of think sort of long term. Always just to think, like, say in other words, it's easy for me to turn around and say, child, go on, come with me, I'll give you some boots, I'll give you this, that and the other. But always just sort of just try and think longer. Do you know what I mean? Always sort of be 5 years and try and think, not get too carried away with it, and sort of let the kid concentrate on his football, really. Put that first.
As well, though, mate, you want them to enjoy it.
Of course.
At 10, 11, 12, doesn't matter if you're playing for Man United or playing for the Dog and Duck, just enjoy your football. And if you're going to make it, you'll find your own way.
Exactly.
You'll improve and you'll develop. Enjoying your football, playing with a smile on your face.
Being a kid.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you see them, that I've been into some of the academies and this, that and the other, and there's kids that are 5 and 6 that are absolutely mustard. You look at them and think, bloody hell, they're unbelievable. They've got strength and conditioning coaches. Because I've been in and around the circle for the last few years, kids at 5 or 6 going on 5 o'clock morning runs every morning. I'm like sort of into it all, and you could, because the prize is so big now. But the thing is, what I say is, further down the road, they're going to be tired. They're going to be mentally drained from it. The fun's going to be gone from it. Don't get me wrong. It might be brilliant now, but mentally, that's worse than the physical side of it. I've always said this with me. I would rather took a beating once a week than the sort of pressure mentally.
Mental,
do you know what
pressure.
I mean? The mental pressure's always worse.
Can't see them bruises, can you?
Yeah, exactly what I'm saying. It's always worse. So, like, when they're that, when they're young, just let them, like you said, just let them enjoy their football first, yeah? And then, as you said, when it gets later on, 14s, 15s, 16s, okay, now you're in a good club, boy, or you're talking to your son, this is the time, now you're in this position, now we've got to sort of knuckle down. Now you can't do as much as that, you've got to do your strength and conditioning and you've got to do your bits and pieces. But like when you're these ages, it's just, it's too much.
Football club paying fucking £100,000 for kids.
They get them at 6 year old. I know Man City get lads in at 6.
Yeah. But you know what does me as well? I've been, as I said, I've been around some of these academies. Some of these kids are that good at 5 and 6. I'm thinking like they've been playing football, because you can look, and someone go and look on their Instagram, they've been playing football since they've been 2 or whatever else and been that good. Really? Did a kid at 2 years old or 3 years old or even 4 years old turn around and say, I want to be a footballer. I want to do what it takes every day. I'll do it. And put a post up saying, I know I had to work really hard today for my team.
Yeah.
And this, that and the other. Did he write that?
No. That's been distilled from elsewhere.
That's what it does me. I think to myself, because there's loads of them out there. And you look at it and you think, nah. Just let the kid enjoy his football. And when he gets whatever age he is, and then he's saying this, that and the other, okay, let's do that. But don't make something fake around him that just don't, it's just unnecessary. Because like you said, when they get to a certain age and they're older anyway, if he's going to find his way, whether he's at Leighton Orient or whether he's at Tottenham or Arsenal, he's going to do it either way. So why build that pressure and that sort of fakeness around him? It drives me crazy.
If it works as well, you know, I know that the Williams sisters, their dad's just been champion for the pressure that he put on put on him to achieve what they achieved, but it worked. So he's lofting now. Yeah. He's a champion for it. But if it hadn't worked, you know, and them girls would have fallen from grace.
Tiger Woods is the same, isn't it?
Yeah. Where's your head at when once you're put under that pressure and it doesn't work?
Mm.
But
it's
a
balancing act, isn't it? Because you need to be able to deal with pressure at the same time, but it's just timing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm. So, but how many more of Tiger Woods and Serena Williams and Venus Williams is there? There's only, you can think of them two, three who's made it, but how many more of them is there who's had a fucking shit childhood and gone on and never played tennis or golf or whatever sport?
Mm.
You can pick examples from anything, can't you?
Yeah.
How many league games did you play in the end?
I ended up playing 6 games. After I stopped playing at Stevenage, I got asked to go and play for Barnet. I played 6 games, but they wasn't even like those like reserve games and this, that and the other. I wasn't like, I never kicked a professional football, but I did play 6 games after Stevenage and then went and played for Barnet.
It's incredible, yeah. Mentally, you've gone through all that shit.
Yeah. I've always said that. I just always felt like I sort of lived a football, was like a lot. I went through it all.
Yeah.
But really, I never even got to kick a football at the same time. And as an adult, as I go in pubs and everything else now, everyone still thinks I'm a football player, or you was a football player or something else. You know what I mean? Just because of
the hype and
everything. Oh, yeah.
Are you at a point now, the way you mentioned it before, about looking back and trying to take the good memories? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that now. It's long enough now.
Some good memories.
Yeah, I've gone through, obviously, all the dramas and everything else and got my own kids and that, and I can look back at and just take the good from it now. So it's nice. And I've sort of gone full circle. It's just that I'm back coaching. I've gone coaching the kids and back into it. My son plays football again now. So I've literally gone like full circle. I've gone through it all. I took a time and I never kicked a ball for like, say, 10 years. So it's like after them Barnet games when I was like, say, 19 or whatever else, until I was like, say, 30. I actually went on TalkSport and did an interview with TalkSport. So I want to say 5 years ago now. And then that sort of opened me back up into talking about my football again. And then obviously I did the book, which came out in May last year. And then, as I said, I've got back into coaching myself. My son plays football. I'm watching football. I'm talking about Wonder Kids and doing bits and pieces on The Guardian. I talked to Don Belly, you know, the boy who plays at Celtic, the young Wonder Kid there.
Right.
Yeah. He ended up talking to him and trying to sort of help kids and everything else, and got into a few clubs. So I've sort of used
Does
him.
That feel good to be able to give, from your experiences, you know, the positives and the negatives, just being able to have that positive effect on somebody else's career?
This is the main reason why I do what we're doing now, because I know listening to this, like, it's going to help a lot of parents, and a lot of people will be like, Jesus, that might make them just think a little bit more about this, that and the other way. It's sort of, definitely. I'll get a big kick out of it.
And that's, I mean, Has your dad reached out to you at all, or have you reached out to your dad since that moment?
No, there's nothing. No, not a lot.
But do you think you'd want to, or?
I mean, it's a weird one, really. Especially, I lost my mum a couple of months ago, yeah. So like I've got that to sort of take into account and everything else, and sisters. But there's no hard feeling there at all. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean, it's gone sort of done and dusted. But I've just got so used to doing my own thing and like never knowing this world. Yeah, you don't know.
I think it's the fact that you don't know why you did it, innit?
Yeah,
you don't know what his intentions were.
Yeah,
even if you just sat down and sort of find out why.
You never know. That might happen one day.
Mm.
A lot of good memories there as well for you.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I enjoyed a lot. And it's, and weirdly enough, like all the sort of mental sort of side of it, I use it now for like all the stuff that all the drama did happen to me, I still use it now for everything, like what I learned through football in normal life now. Like you got to get up and go, you can't stop. I just use that for daily life now. So it's a good lesson. Like through sport, I don't think you can get anything better to sort of build character and everything else, even though I did have a tough time at some points, but even through the back of that now, I'm pretty much driven like that young kid, like when I was on it with the football, but just in normal life now. Do you know what I mean? I've had different businesses, I've worked hard to do this, and I've sort of got that sort of drive in me, which I believe I got through football, and I've used that into sort of normal life.
Were there points while you were at Stevenage and Leighton Orient that you were just, were you just able to be one of the lads? Still in the changing room.
Yeah, that was the best thing about it. That was like some of the lads there was like, that was the best thing about it. Like the what's that word?
Camaraderie.
Playing international.
Yeah, that sort of side of it. That helped me the most because that's what I wanted. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to be accepted as one of the boys. And as I said to you earlier, we ended up on tour and doing things that are going on in changing rooms and bits and pieces. We stitched up a couple of players, put it that way. A few things happened where people come out unstuck. Like we went on tour to Spain and one of the kids left his pot of gel in the room next door. And like me and the goalkeeper, you know, goalkeepers, they're always the nutty ones, aren't they? And someone ended up doing something, putting inside his gel. And
a bodily fluid.
it got mixed in. He found out about halfway through the game.
Something about Mary just with his finger.
Yeah, just banter. Do you know what I mean? You know,
like,
some people would probably say it probably too far, but at the same time, it was quite funny.
Is the book still for sale?
Still for sale, Amazon. Yeah, as soon as it came out, it went to number one in Amazon for like as a bestseller and then a best newcomer for a while. So yeah, it's done pretty well from Reach Sport. It was done like
I did mine with them in Liverpool.
Yes, it. Reach.
Yeah, I did mine with them. Funny enough, mine got to 1,809 on the Amazon chart. I think mine got the worst seller. I think they called it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind we reach for Reach, Liverpool. Yeah. They must have promoted yours more than mine, the fuckers.
Well, cheers, mate.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, mate.
No worries,
good luck with you.
Thank you very much, all of you. Thank you. Bye.